That was a long hour. Isn't it crazy how sometimes an hour can feel like three or an hour can feel like 20 minutes? What else that boggles my mind about time is that it goes fast, or it feels as though it is flying when you want it to slow down. When you want it to speed up, or you want time to go faster, what does it feel like? It's dragging. It's crazy because time is always the same. It's our perception of it. It's our future versus our past, right? And the two things kind of tugging us in different directions. Or maybe it's the present wanting to stay where you are. I'm the type of person that needs something to look forward to. That's always been one of the ways that I deal with disappointment, sadness, grief. And so with my grandmother's passing away last year in July, gosh, we're coming up on 1 year since I last saw my Grammy Helen. It feels like forever. It feels so much longer than 1 year. But her birthday is just a week away. And so to think about celebrating her 100th birthday a year ago at this time, just about this time, it's that perception that I almost can't grasp. Is it's been only a year and it feels like forever since I've spoken to her. It was a year since I last saw her. I spoke to her all the way into July when she passed away, but it feels like it's been an eternity. So one of the things that helps me to deal with grief, and in the case of my Grammy, the second half of 2022, was to try to have a few events to look forward to. It I don't know what it is. It's kind of this anticipation. There's hope when I feel as though there's something on the horizon that I can look forward to. And honestly, since I'm goal-oriented, if I have a goal, if I know exactly how long it's going to take me, it makes it a lot easier to keep marching, to keep moving, to keep going until that date arrives. And so in the case of last year, in the second half of the year after losing Grammy, it helped me, and I really couldn't do much more than this, but it helped me to get to football season, right? Because there's so much buzz around football, and it's so good for our show. We do such intense football coverage here that I was really able to pour myself into work. Or the holidays. And while I didn't see my family at Thanksgiving, I do love Thanksgiving, and it was great to be able to celebrate with some friends. But knowing that I had multiple family events on the calendar for December, and sometimes this is about all I can do. Maybe it's that way for you too. If I could just keep moving, keep putting one foot in front of the other, and know that I'm getting closer to these moments or these events, well, then it makes it a little easier. But I swear sometimes when you've got an event on the calendar that you're really excited about, you know exactly how many days until it arrives. Oh, it can feel like forever. Actually, this Saturday is 5 weeks until my next half marathon. So speaking of time going faster or going slower, it's the crazy part. It's like this strange dichotomy where looking ahead 3 months down the road to an event that I'm really excited about, a vacation I'm really excited about, it feels like time is dragging, and yet in 5 weeks, I have to be in shape for a half marathon, so these next 5 weeks are going to fly. I don't know how that works. How can like half your brain think that time is going too slowly and half your brain think that time is going too fast? Deep thoughts from Amy Lawrence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're glad to have you with us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as always. On our Facebook page, you can... In addition to answering our questions about opening day or what other day on the sports calendar is more buzzy. Is that a word? Buzzy. It's more busy and buzzy. Jay's Googling it right now. How much do you want to bet Jay's Googling buzzy? It's buzzier. It's more buzzworthy and more full of anticipation than opening day. And so there's baseball for sure, but mostly I want you to weigh in about this Lamar Jackson situation. I want Lamar to stop acting like Baker Mayfield. This time last year, right? Like this time last year, this is exactly what Baker was doing or had done, remember? Because I don't remember the precise date that the Deshaun Watson thing played out. I could go and Google it. But it was roughly a year ago this time that Baker issued his Dear John letter to the Cleveland Browns fans and declared he was out. This is even before Deshaun accepted the Browns contract.
I would love to show up at somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of him.
He's changed. It's a humbler. It's a humbled Baker Mayfield, who now has a job in Tampa and wants everyone to know that he's not Tom Brady anytime the subject comes up. In the case of Lamar, you don't need to put your stuff out there. You don't need to defend yourself. You're not in a place where you need to air all of your business. And I hate that he preemptively bid farewell to Baltimore. Now, does he feel like he has to leave or has to sit out regardless of what happens moving forward? Because there may not be a trade destination for him. That's the problem. What teams out there are willing to give up the 2 first-round draft picks? Not to mention absorb the salary, though the salary under the non-exclusive franchise tag is less than what it would be under the exclusive franchise tag. I really want Lamar to find peace, because it's clear that right now he doesn't have that peace. And I wish he had the separation, the buffer, if you will, of an agent. Because, and I know this from personal experience, I am an emotional girl, so I speak Lamar's language right now. He's speaking out of emotion. Sometimes, mostly when I was younger, I'd have to remind myself to put down the phone, walk away, don't send the text, don't post on social, take a breath, take an hour. If you come back to it and still feel the same way, well, then reconsider. But my emotions come in waves. And I just have to be careful I don't act in the throes of emotion. So often, this is what people do on social media. They pick up their phones like it's a weapon, and they start tweeting or posting. And then once it's out there, you can't take it back. If nothing else, Lamar tipped his hand. And to me, he needs all the bargaining power he can get. Why tell the world that you asked for a trade? But even if you feel like that's important, why defend yourself to the hilt? You don't need to. You're a former MVP, an incredible talent. Don't give teams any fuel. But the agent is the part that I wish he would consider. Now, I know he's not going to. He's got reps from the NFLPA who are at least advising him. But an agent would take some of the emotion out of it. It's clear that he's upset at the Ravens. It's very clear. And now he's upset at what people are saying about him. That there's another piece of it. Stop listening. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. If you've chosen to walk this road, own it. Who cares? You're the NFL QB. And if you're going to do it yourself and you're going to deal with some of the emotional entanglement, if you've chosen to take that on yourself, you feel like you're bulletproof enough to handle it, you feel like you're equipped to leave the emotion on the side, to leave the emotion to the side, well, then you got to do that in every case, right? So that's the thing. Like Lamar Jackson feels like he can go through this process without being emotionally connected, without getting hurt, without feeling disrespected. He thinks it's okay that he can handle it just as well as any agent to hear why the Ravens don't want to give him this or don't want to give him that. Except you can tell he's hurt. You can tell he's upset by what he puts out there on Twitter. He's clapping back. He's answering. And again, it's a fight you can't win when you're on social as a public figure. So as Lamar and the Ravens continue this impasse, what would be your advice for the Ravens QB? I still say the best option is to kiss and make up with Baltimore, at least now. And if I'm him, I take a shorter deal. Maybe the 3 years, $133 million, which would pay him over $44 million per season. Play through your guaranteed money, and then you know what? If you crush it the way that you believe you can, then in 2 more years, you can campaign for another deal. The problem is the timing in all of this. The other teams in the league that need quarterbacks, most of them are going looking in the draft. The other teams have kind of filled their seats with stopgaps that are cheaper as they transition from one era to another. And that kind of applies to Tampa, I would say. And here's another piece of this. Lamar is a distinct type of QB, right? He's not, and I'm not telling you he's a running back because I think that's ridiculous. Lamar can throw the football better than a lot of people give him credit for. But is he a gunslinger? No. Is he a pocket passer? Not unless you make him. That's not his first instinct. And so there are teams out there that this isn't quite their style. Isn't that what we heard from Ron Rivera? In addition to, hey, we don't have the money to be able to invest in him. He also said, that's not the style of quarterback that we're looking for. Now, are there plenty of guys out there who can run? Sure. Guys that are mobile? Absolutely. And as I say, I believe Lamar is a better passer than what the general narrative is around him. Is he a deep ball guy? Well, not as much as others might be. But he's a better than average quarterback. He's a great QB. He just needs a team. You can't be a great QB without a team. You can't prove people wrong without a team. And we're getting to the point now where there's only really one viable option, at least at this juncture, at this point in the offseason, this is really the only viable option. Now, he can wait. Something else may open up. But you know what's worse than having to swallow your pride and take a deal that's less than what you want that still pays you $133 million fully guaranteed? You know what's worse? Not playing at all. That would be the absolute worst decision by Lamar, in my opinion. Now, I get it. Some players will tell you they take a year off, their bodies feel real good, maybe heal completely, but life comes at you so fast in pro sports. Once you're out of the game, I don't want to say it's impossible to get back in because that's not true. But I say don't give up your seat, man. Don't give up your spot. There's only 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Don't give up your spot. Go out there and prove that you are worth the deal that you want. Do it on the field. Don't give up your job. Don't give up your gig. I tell young broadcasters a lot. I mentor young broadcasters in this business, and I tell them, I know you're anxious to start over. I know you feel like the job you're in, it's not fulfilling. It's not what you want to do. They don't pay you enough. It's not where you want to be. But this industry is small, and it's getting smaller. It's a small world. Be damn sure that you have something waiting, or that you are, be like 100% supremely confident, excuse me, that you can step from this job to another one before you give up your gig. And that applies to me too. I do believe there are changes coming at the end of this contract. But man, if it doesn't play out the way that I want it to, in this business, you're taking a great leap of faith if you give up your spot. And that's exactly what would happen with Lamar. You give up your spot. First of all, you sit an entire year without getting paid. On what planet does that make sense if you're a pro athlete and you only have a limited window upon which to capitalize on your prime, right? So I would say Lamar is in his prime. If he can be healthy, he's in his prime. 3, 4 more years, 5 more years of prime. I mean, considering Aaron Rodgers just won a pair of MVPs and we know what Tom Brady has done, but for the most part, even quarterbacks are not in their prime, especially a quarterback who plays as physical as he does. You're not in your prime at 35. What is he, late 20s now, 27? 27 maybe. I remember he was a teenager when he got on the field, or he's 20. He was 20 when he got on the field for the Ravens, right? He's 26. You have so much time left still, but if you get out of the game, it's harder to get back in. You get out of the game by choice, it's harder to get back in. Don't give up your gig. I still think he should take the deal if it's still available, the 3 years, $133 million. But if not, maybe you swallow what you feel like is your pride, and rather than sit out, you play for the Ravens. Because the way that you can attract more attention and prove to people that you can rise above this, prove to teams that you are still the quarterback that deserves this contract. Because remember, the last thing that teams have seen of you is you getting injured at the end of the last two seasons and the Ravens not making the playoffs. Or not. They didn't make the playoffs last year. Did they make the playoffs 2 years ago? They didn't. Did they? It was the Bengals and the Steelers 2 years ago, right? Didn't the Steelers end up making the playoffs in Roethlisberger's last year, or no?
I want to say they had a bad collapse at the end of the year.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and think about it just because, you know what, I'll just Google it. I do believe that Lamar's best option is to play. It's his best option. Whether it's signing the franchise tender, whether it's taking the deal if it's still on the table. And I do think that the Ravens are being genuine when they say that they want Lamar to stay. I do believe that. I forgot they made it this year. But no, wait, no, 2022, right? Yeah, 2022. They lost to the Bengals this year, remember? The Ravens made it, but then lost to the Bengals. Remember, it was a rematch of the week 8, was it week 18 of the regular season? And they ended up making it, but they lost to the Bengals, right? So that's so funny. It's crazy how that was part of that like supersized wild card weekend thing.
Huntley, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Tyler Huntley. So they did make it this year, but with Lamar, they have not since 2020. And that's the year they beat the Titans in the playoffs, but then lost to the Buffalo Bills. So the last 2 years, what we know of Lamar is a team that's floundering at the end because they don't have their starting QB because he's hurt. Give them an incredible season and prove that you're worthy of the deal or a new deal. And it's not just because I think you have, it's not because I think you have something to prove, but he clearly does. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on social media. It's because you're better off playing than not playing. You're better off making some money, even if it's not all the money that you want. Don't give up your seat, is what I'm saying. Don't give it up. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to get to your calls, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Advice for Lamar Jackson, what would you tell him? I see some of you already going to the get an agent and a PR person. That's Pete on Twitter. Yeah, just have a buffer. Have a buffer. Someone who maybe offers a check and a balance for you. It's not bad. And here's the thing is, and I would say too, one more thing. I'm sorry, I know it's going to take a break. My family loves me. My family thinks I'm the best broadcaster there is on the planet, probably. Your family always sees it from your point of view. And that's okay. Your family should be on your side. But see, they're as emotionally invested as you are. Right? I tell my family to stay off social media because I don't want them to see what's out there about me. I don't want them to get upset. I don't care. It doesn't bother me anymore. But I don't want them, my mom especially, to see what people say, to see the names people call me. It's not worth her being upset. Because she's emotionally invested in me. So is Lamar's family, and they should be. That's why you need someone who can be more objective, who can remove himself from the situation or herself from the situation, who is trained to negotiate and keep emotion out of it as much as possible. You need that buffer. Your family's supposed to love you and care for you and be on your side through thick or thin, regardless. Your family's your ride or die. Let an agent do the business side of things, because business and personal, there needs to be some separation. I truly believe that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
DJ Mosley drops back into coverage. Jets rush four. Jackson the throw. Lobs near side. Looking for Duvernay. End zone. Reaches up. Makes the catch. Touchdown Ravens.
Great throw.
A 25-yard strike from Lamar Jackson.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerry Sandusky on Baltimore Ravens Radio. I still believe the best option for Lamar is Baltimore. They have a brand new offensive coordinator that they want to work with him. They're going to have new schemes. They're going to have new ideas. They obviously felt like what happened with Greg Roman was getting stale. And so they've made a change to try to spark the offense. They want to build around Lamar. Now, you can disagree with me. Unless you think that the Ravens brain trust and Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh are being disingenuous. I do not believe that. I do not believe that these guys would be so consistent about how much they love Jamar. Jamar, oh my gosh. It's happening. I went from Jim to John to Jamar. I can't help it. I'm an idiot. It's the fourth show of the work week. Your girls sometimes messes up.
Maybe they'll give Jamar the guaranteed money.
All right, don't make this a thing, okay? Lamar, I apologize. I was thinking Jim and John, and then I said Jamar, obviously. They want him there. They've been very consistent. So unless you believe that Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh are lying about Lamar, I don't see what they would stand to gain by lying about Lamar. Doesn't make any sense there. They want to build around him. They're trying to find receivers they can put around him. I don't think they want someone else. They want him. And actually, it leaves him in a lurch now, right? If Lamar does get traded, I know they get a couple of first-round draft picks back, but they're essentially starting over. After they thought they found their franchise quarterback, that puts them at a distinct disadvantage in the AFC North. Think about the QBs in the AFC North. Kenny Pickens is coming along. I totally get that. Deshaun Watson, regardless of what we think of the contract, I mean, he's a former Pro Bowl quarterback. We'll see if he can get it back this season. But hello, Joe Burrow. I just don't want him to miss the forest for the trees. I still say best option is stay in Baltimore if you can only stomach one more year. But I think the shorter term deal is actually a great opportunity. And it's a lot of freaking money. It's still a lot of money. And you have your freedom again in a couple of years if you really want out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Ken is listening in Baltimore. Ken, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
First things, I'm from Baltimore. I've been a Baltimore Colts fan.
Ooh.
Years ago, of course. And now I'm a Ravens fan. And I've always liked quiet.
Quiet. Whoop, I don't know why you're listening to the show, man.
I've been listening for about 7 years, and I've texted you some things, you know, answered some of your questions, bold questions.
Cool.
I'm a first-time caller, though.
Awesome.
So I've always appreciated the quiet in the offseason and the no drama, you know, of Baker Mayfield, of Aaron Rodgers' contract demands. Am I going to play? Am I not? It wasn't really unexpected. They've been negotiating for a long time, never got a deal hammered out, and we knew the franchise tag was coming, and then you know Lamar is going to get upset at that, and then, you know, so it's actually kind of going along the ways that I thought. But agents are very important to me. I don't have an agent, of course. I don't do this kind of work, but they are a buffer, and in contract negotiations, from what I understand, the club is going to try to pay you as little as possible.
Of course, that's their job. Yeah,
you know, so they bring out every little thing that you're not great at. And like you said earlier, if it's family is your agent, then they're invested in you. And you wouldn't even hear some of these things. Lamar might not hear some of these things that the club might say about him in the contract negotiations. I wish he would have signed the 3-year $133 million. Like you say, I still think that's his best option. It also gives him a chance to reload in 3 years, depending on the market. And
probably, actually, Ken, just to interject, probably not even three. Because what happens, right, the trend in the NFL is that if you play really well for the first couple of years, you get close to the end of your deal. Well, then, I mean, this is what's happening with Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts, right? They're not at the end of their deals, but their teams believe that they are worthy of contract extensions. Teams don't want to get in this situation where you're up against it and you have no time left on the deal. They want to get extensions done before that. So if he plays extremely well for 2 years, he could get another deal in two more years.
I wish him nothing but the best, but I think it's pretty much fractured right now. Unfortunately, I just don't. If he comes back, I think a lot of the fan base is kind of, you know, doesn't like him as much as they used to, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, I believe they could fix it, because I think if they have a common goal, which is he wants the job and they want him for the good of the Ravens, then I think it can be fixed. Now, is it maybe the best long-term solution? Nah, but I still say it's better than sitting out and not getting paid at all.
Oh, we absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to leave you with this, though. I hear you're going to the Grand Canyon, and I wish,
yes,
you take many, many pictures.
Okay.
That's one of the things on my bucket list, along with going to see the Sequoia National Forest.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay, I will definitely take pictures, of course. In fact, I'll probably stop more to take pictures than, like, be really hiking up a storm on the way down, especially. But thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I will try to call more than text. You have a great day.
Okay, Ken, good to talk to you. Thank you. 855-212-4227. Let's do one more here before we take our break. Roy's in California. What do you think, Roy?
How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Good. I think so. The Lamar situation is kind of tricky. You know, I think it's different when you have a player that spent his whole entire career in one spot, which Lamar has. And so right now it's all about being wanted. He feels that, you know, he has a certain value. They feel like they're at a standstill with a certain value that they want to pay him. And so it's at a standstill. I think what the best situation is for him to do is get out of Baltimore. This isn't the first time we've seen a situation where players negotiate for themselves. Look, for instance, look at Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates doesn't have an agent, and he just signed a big deal with the Falcons. You know, granted, everyone thought he was going to be a long-time Bengals player, mm-hmm. but he wasn't. He got out of Cincinnati, and now he's somewhere that he feels they paid him that value. Not to mention, you know, you got guys like Devin Duvernay. You know, I think Humphrey's up for an extension soon. They're going to have to pay these guys as well in the future. And so if they gobble up all the money by paying Lamar, then who are they going to surround Lamar with? You know, you can't just continue to bring in draft picks over and over again. You know, you have a solid team, but now if you put all your eggs in this one basket, it's going to make things harder in the long run to keep talent around him. And that was the whole issue. You know, they got rid of Hollywood because they didn't want to pay him, because they knew they were going to have to pay Lamar. But now it's like, okay, you don't want to pay Lamar what he feels that he's worth, because, you know, it's going to put you in a hole down in the long run.
So just out of curiosity, Roy, you think that the team offering him a contract that pays him better than $44 million per year is not his worth?
Well, I'm not going to say that it's not his worth. I mean, I would love to be paid $44 million.
Well, no, but I mean, commensurate with the other quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, there are a handful that make more than $44 million per year. But, you know, that's far more. That's actually a lot more than what we see from, say, Matthew Stafford, who just won a Super Bowl. Josh Allen doesn't even make $44 million per year.
Correct. But you think about, you know, the Mahomes. You know, Josh Allen also has been won an MVP. Matthew Stafford, you know, he was on the verge of, you know, being in the free agency before he got traded. You know, it took him so long to win a Super Bowl as well. So, yeah, I think for him, what his worth is, I think you if he can find a team that's going to pay him that, then you go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. If not, then, you know, you're going to have to settle under the tag. I think I also agree with you, though. Not playing would be one of the worst things that he
can do. Yeah, please don't do that.
We look at the Le'Veon Bell situation where he sat out 4 years and he came back and he didn't have that good of a year and he got overpaid. You don't want to be in a situation where, you know, people feel like you're going to overpay. And then also, you know, if you do sit out or, you know, say he does take a contract and they pay him, you know, what's the thing that he's lacking? He's won the MVP. He's got, you know, rushing titles and everything, but he doesn't have a Super Bowl yet.
Right.
So now, you know, you get paid that much, you're expecting to produce a Super Bowl. And what if that doesn't happen? Now the city of Baltimore is like you felt.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you about the Super Bowl pressure. I think it's already there, though, just because the franchise has got a Super Bowl history. And because of the division that the Ravens play in, it's a really high-profile division. Now the AFC champions come out of that recently. I definitely agree, though, about not sitting out and the fact that teams move on and they find other options. And I get it. Now, I don't necessarily agree with what the Cardinals paid Kyler Murray, and I think they're going to end up paying for it. But maybe that's one of the things that he's looking at. Kyler Murray's making $46.1 million a year. Though, again, I think that was an ill-advised contract. Russell Wilson's making $49 million a year. And look, the Broncos are stuck. They would have gotten out of that if they could, but they're stuck.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So interesting stuff. Good conversation, Roy. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
855-212-4227. We'll get back to more of your calls. We're looking for your advice. And I'm, of course, using my air quotations, your advice for Lamar Jackson. What would you suggest that he do? I think the worst possible option is to sit out. I think the best option is to take a deal from the Ravens. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, a team comes along and is willing to trade for you and give you the fat contract that you want. But what if a team comes along, wants to trade for you, and doesn't want to give you a new contract? Or doesn't want to give you the contract that you want? You may end up in the same boat with another franchise as you are in Baltimore. And maybe you think that that bridge is burned. I actually think that there's more of a comfortability there with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and certainly with John Harbaugh. You never know how it's going to work in a new place. And John loves this guy, as he should. Lamar's my guy, he says. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, advice for Lamar. We're going to get back to a little more of what's happening in the NBA. Congratulations to the Sacramento Kings, but that's just one piece of the West. We got a big injury to an all-star in the East. Adam Silver was talking a little bit on Wednesday. Okay, we're going into a Thursday. Time.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, code PODCAST.
It's a conversation. You know, it's a conversation.
Jimmy Clay, would you still play week one if there's not a deal?
We're in a conversation.
If you don't have an extension, like the way you're thinking right now, I mean, will you be a training camp? Will you be playing week one under your current deal with no contract?
We're having a conversation about it. I don't know.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I heard this once about negotiating, about contracts and compromises, and I do believe it. The best deals leave both sides feeling as though they didn't get everything they wanted, right? So the best deals, the ones that work for both parties, generally leave each side feeling like, okay, I had to give up something. But that's part of negotiating. We don't know all the history. I can't claim to know all the history about where the Ravens started in their negotiations and their offers and where Lamar started. The reports out there are that he wants a fully guaranteed deal. It seems like on Lamar's social, he has disputed that, but I could be wrong. It's just you're kind of reading between the lines now with Lamar. I just wish he wouldn't turn into Kevin Durant or, you know what I mean? Kevin Durant airs a lot of his grievances on social. Now, According to people who know KD, he actually enjoys the game. Like, he really does enjoy it. He gets some kind of joy out of going back and forth with people on social. Whereas some people get frustrated or feel like they're being attacked. He couldn't give a crap. And so...
Who cares?
Exactly. So he does it for sport, really. I think in Lamar's case, it comes across very emotional. It comes across like he's defending himself, and he doesn't need to. He doesn't have to defend himself. For heaven's sakes, you're not Baker Mayfield. I've always felt like Lamar handled his business very maturely. But it's clear that this has gotten to him, and I can understand it would get to me too. Just talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Don't take to social media because it's a war you can't win. And then people start talking about how you're a diva or you're a baby or you're blah, 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 blah. I just think he comes off super emotional. But also, you don't need to. You're a former NFL MVP. You're a franchise QB. Let's find some common ground. And that includes the Ravens, too, if they really want him. I mean, they're obviously prepared to pay him, but they took a risk with the non-exclusive franchise tag because they truly believe there isn't another team out there that's going to offer him what he wants. The Ravens still think they're his best option, but also they wanted to protect themselves and get two first-round draft picks in return if he ends up going somewhere else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Lots of you finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's Steve in Washington, D.C. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Amy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Just to piggyback on what you were saying, well, so far, the Ravens are right. Nobody has come up with any kind of offer.
That's
true.
He
was Arthur Blank, who was on ESPN yesterday, and saying that, you know, hey, you know, missing 10 games in the last 2 years, you're exactly right. I mean, this is what goes on in negotiations. This is the things that they bring up because they want to protect their assets too. I do think Lamar Jackson has missed it with an agent. I mean, he doesn't understand these languages and what goes on. That's their craft. His craft is to play football. And I understand the PA is advising him, but he needs an agent because when free agency started in, you know, that's when agents can actually, you know, be his voice.
Right.
You know, with other teams and things like that. Well, he's home with the family and mom and everything else like that. He can't be all over the league like agents are. That's what they do for a living. And him understanding the languages of it and everything like that, sure, he can bring in players. But I do think at $44 million, if he says he says he is, hey, take the 44, I give it to Andy. Go out and ball out. Wait, Aaron Rodgers is on his, what, fifth contract right now?
Yeah.
I mean, my God. I mean, if he's only 20, Lamar's 26 years, he's 27, I think. Man, he's got maybe three more contracts he can go tackle.
Agreed.
He probably can make $500 million.
If he stays healthy, for sure.
Yes, ma'am, if he can stay healthy. So if he is in 5 years, 3 year deal, he's at 29 years old on the next one. He can sign another one and another one out there. He can probably get three or four more contracts if he stays healthy, you know, with the Lamar or whatever. But I mean, my God, I don't fault the Ravens in this. I mean, like, if they offered him a dollar more than Kyler Murray, because the contract that Cleveland gave this guy, that's an anomaly. Nobody's going to get that.
Yeah, and shouldn't. It's going to bite the Browns in the ass. I think we all know that. It's going to at
yes,
some
ma'am.
Point. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. So, you know, but great show, Amy. I just wanted to hit on it. I live in D.C., so it's a lot of chatter around here about Lamar Jackson.
I can imagine.
With the commander should have did or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, but he has to actually fit into someone's cap.
True.
You know, it's not just, okay, we trade for Lamar Jackson. He actually has to fit contracting in someone's cap. So, you know, you got to be able to have conversations. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with that. And that's why I think he definitely needs me.
Yeah, I don't want him to carry this around. Steve, thank you so much. We're glad to hear from you. It's a little bit loud in the background, but we appreciate your phone call. Jay and I were just thinking, airport, grocery store. And you said what?
Police station. roller derby.
I hope it's not that busy at a police station at this hour, but I suppose in Washington, D.C., in a big city, anything is possible. I'm sure you weren't saying that the man, I mean, this is his one phone call. He's arrested. This is
he's calling the show. That would be
amazing.
This
is his one phone call. Steve, we're totally joking. I don't take it personally, I swear. Let's see.
Sending help.
Yeah. Joe on Twitter says, as far as the Ravens are concerned, they don't value wide receivers and QBs the way the rest of the NFL does. Last season, they spent $5 million on wide receivers. The average NFL team spent $30 million. Well, to be fair, Joe, that's a good point. The Ravens didn't have anybody on their wide receiver roster who had more than 2 years of experience, and they paid for it. So Lamar's numbers reflect that. They're trying, but yeah, last year the salaries for some of the top wide receivers were astronomical. They went through the roof. That was really the windfall position for the NFL last year in free agency. What's your advice for Lamar, if you could give him some? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.